Today on Life Talk.
You know, you can give without loving. People do it all the time. You can give for all kinds of motives, but you cannot love without giving. I challenge you to love somebody and refrain from giving to them. You can't do it because love causes us, moves us to give.
You are listening to Life Talk with Pastor Jeff Wickwire, the founder and senior pastor of Turning Point Church in Fort Worth, Texas. Maybe you've noticed that our culture is pretty messed up these days, which makes people feel anxious who are filled with questions. They want peace, but have a hard time finding it or making it last. Well, Pastor Jeff is going to share in the message today about how you can finally be filled with hope, security, and most importantly, that peace you're looking for. Today's message is just for you. You can also listen to it again or any of the messages anytime you would like at our website, lifetalkradio.us. Let's go ahead and get right to the message. Here's Pastor Jeff to tell us what's coming up today on Life Talk.
Hello, everybody. Welcome to today's edition of Life Talk. Wow, it's so hard to believe that Christmas, my favorite time of the year, is already here again. I was thinking about what Christmas means to me, and the Bible verse popped into my mind where the Apostle Paul thanks God for sending the indescribable gift of Jesus Christ. You know, when something is indescribable, it means you just don't have enough words or even sufficient words to describe something. Do you feel that way about Jesus? Is he an indescribable gift to you? Well, today I'm going to be talking about this very thing. So let's get right into the Word of God and see what the Bible says about the indescribable gift of God's Son to the world in our message, God's Indescribable Gift.
When you give a gift, Christmas time, here's what does not happen. You open up a gift and you go, oh, wow, thank you, I just can't believe this. And then you do not look at the giver and say, what do I owe you? Do you? I don't think there's anybody who would say, well, that thing was $53 and I'll take it anytime you're ready. No. Why? Because it's a gift. And so is Jesus Christ was a gift. Salvation is a gift. So when God gives us a gift, we don't pay him back. We receive the gift. And so I'm going to read just one verse. It's very, very short, so I want you to read it with me. But read it like it means something to you, because it should. All right? So here's the Apostle Paul, and he's overwhelmed. And he looks up and he says, read it. Thanks be to God for his indescribable gift. Amen. Can we thank God for that? So today I want to talk to you about that indescribable gift. Let's pray. Father, I just thank you for the Word of God. Lord, we just come thanking you for the indescribable gift of Jesus Christ. That, Lord, we can do nothing but receive. And as we receive it, Lord, and we allow it to be opened in our lives, oh, what a gift it is. What an unbelievable, inexpressible gift it is. And so, Lord, speak to us today. Help us to wrap our minds around better than we ever have before, and our hearts, the indescribable gift that Jesus was and is. In your mighty name we pray, amen. I want you to turn to somebody and say, indescribable. Amen. Now, there is one gift, and God gives lots of gifts. God gives all of us a gift when we're saved. He's a gift-giving God because he's a God of love. Because he loves, he gives. You know, you can give without loving. People do it all the time. You can give without loving. You can give for all kinds of motives. But you cannot love without giving. I challenge you to love somebody and refrain from giving to them. You can't do it. Because love causes us, moves us to give. So Paul says, when I think about the gift of God, it is for me indescribable. Indescribable means inexpressible, unspeakable, indefinable. I can't find the right words. Paul the Apostle, you know, a genius in his mind, a wordsmith by trade, and yet he couldn't find the words to describe or explain the gift, the depth and the width and the breadth and the height of the immensity of the gift of Jesus Christ. He said, when I look for words, I can't find them. How many of you have ever gone to a firework display? And it's so amazing, so overwhelmingly incredible that you go, just no words. There's just no words. What was it like? Oh, it was just no words. You know what you just did? You just defined indefinable, indescribable, unspeakable. You couldn't find words to describe what you saw. Now, Paul said, when it comes to the gift of Jesus Christ, I can't find the words because he is inexpressible. It's unspeakable what God did for us. And when I look at that word, and I meditated on that word this week, I just began to think of what and how the gift actually was indescribable. Because if you break it down, there's several angles to that word and several sort of approaches or viewpoints that you can look at that word and all that the gift of God involved regarding Jesus Christ, all that he did on our behalf. And I thought of at least three ways it's indescribable. And so I'm going to go over those three ways with you and just show you some of the ways it's indescribable, that God's gift is indescribable. How many of you are thankful for the gift of Jesus Christ? Amen? How many of you can say, I've opened up a lot of gifts, but when I received the gift of Jesus Christ, what it brought into my life cannot be compared to anything that any gift has ever brought to me. So here's the ways I'm going to deal with. First, it was indescribable love that sent the gift. And it was an indescribable sacrifice that was required to give us the gift. And it brought indescribable results. Amen. I'm looking at the results. I'm looking at you and you're looking at me. You know what? We're a result of the indescribable gift that God sent in the place of his son. But you see, it brought indescribable results that carry it down. Now we're in the 21st century after his death and resurrection. And look at what the gift of Jesus Christ has brought to our world. We will never, you could never, ever define it, explain it, enunciate what the gift of Jesus Christ has done to the entire world. But let me just break it down first and talk to you about how the indescribable gift flowed out of indescribable, unspeakable, indefinable love. Love. It says, God so loved the world that he couldn't help himself. He gave his only begotten son. Why? That whoever puts their faith in him would not perish in their sin, but have everlasting life. God so loved. Everybody say so. Now, John could have been real, pragmatic and said, well, God loved the world, so he gave his son. But no, he put that so in there because he couldn't find words either. He just said, God so loved. Have you ever loved somebody so much? Because I love you so much. John said, God's love towards you and me was overwhelming, inexpressible, indefinable, indescribable, unspeakable, unexplainable, unfathomable. His love was so great, so profound, the breadth of it, width of it, height of it, depth of it. We will never plumb the depths of it. We will never fully understand it until the day that we see him. No wonder John wrote in 1 John, behold what manner of love the Father has given unto us that we should be called the sons of God. Behold what manner of love. Behold what kind of love. Behold what kind of amazing love. We talk about amazing grace. What about amazing love? Behold what manner of love the Father has bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God, and it does not yet appear what we shall be. But we know that when he comes again, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. Behold what manner of love the Father has given unto us, that we should be called a son of God, a daughter of God, received into fellowship with him, received and adopted into the family of God. Behold what manner of love. In other words, think about that love. Ponder that love. Meditate on that love. Chew on it for a while. It's more than we can ever wrap our minds around. But you know, we talk about love and we love love. We all want to be loved. Everybody wants to be loved. Everybody's hungry for love, thirsty for love. Everybody wants to know they're loved by somebody. Just somebody. Give me one person on the planet that truly loves me. We like to know that if we make a mistake, somebody is going to be there that still loves us. We want to know that if we even mess up our lives, somebody is going to love us enough to stick around and still love us. We're tired of people who say they love us, but they walk out as soon as things get tough. We find out that who we thought were our friends aren't our friends at all, because when the going gets tough, that's when a lot of people bail and their love turns out to have not been real. But I'm talking about a Savior today who said, I'm never going to leave you. I'm never going to forsake you. I'm never going to walk away from you. We all want to be loved. We all love to be loved. We all need to be loved. We're all looking for love.
We'll get back to Pastor Jeff in a moment to close out today's program. But first, I want to share something about our program. Our mission is actually very simple: to share the life-changing good news of Jesus Christ. So it's our prayer that these messages from Pastor Jeff aren't something you only listen to and enjoy, but that they inspire you to share with others. Together, we can do this. The message of the gospel is something everyone needs to hear, and that's why it's a priority to us. And you get to join us in this important mission. Call us at 877-884-3111 to say you're in, or drop us a line through our website, lifetalkradio.us. Well, here's Pastor Jeff with the rest of today's program.
We just came from New York City, but I want you to know New York City is a great place to visit, but I do not want to live there. It was a madhouse. It was hustle and bustle and rushing and racing. And we found out real quick it's the city of sirens and horns. If you're in downtown New York City, that's all you hear is sirens and horns. And you talk about rush hour traffic, how about sidewalk traffic? Forget highways. You can't even get anywhere on the sidewalk downtown New York City. It's all you can do to make it a block because it's so congested. And there I saw this mass of humanity. And I got to tell you, being a preacher, being a Christian, being a lover of the gospel of Jesus Christ and wanting to see people saved, my heart was just rent because I saw all these people. So many of them clearly, you could tell, just life was wearing on them. And you knew that a lot of them didn't have anybody in their life that loved them. How many times did we walk by somebody just leaning up against a wall in the freezing cold, smoking marijuana, blowing it out towards you, numbing their life away, drinking their life away? Nowhere to go. People on subways we saw who pay enough money just to go around the whole city over and over again because they got nowhere to land. They've got nowhere to go. They have no place to call home. They sleep on that subway. They would sleep with you sitting there looking at them, heads drooping down, terrible clothes that hadn't been changed in weeks, hadn't showered in weeks. Just waiting to die? Nobody to love them. See, we want to be loved. I wanted to tell them there is a God who loves you. See, if you just know that God loves you, there's where you find your purpose. Amen. There's where you find your answer. There's where you find your rock to stand on. There's where you find a reason to get up in the morning. Just knowing that God loves you. No wonder John also wrote, God is love. God loves because God is love. God can't help but love because God is love. He loves because he is love. He gave his only begotten son because he loves us. And the gift is a reflection of his love. He's a God of love. And I wondered how many of these people going by had ever heard the gospel, had ever heard that Jesus loved them, had ever heard that their lives could be changed. God has put a word in my heart for the new year. Maximum impact. Time is short. The days are evil. It's time to make the most of every opportunity. And I would love to be able to reach that mass of mankind, that mass of humanity with the simple, God so loved the world. I want you all to know that God so loves you. He gave his only begotten Son, that whoever puts their faith in him will never perish, but will enjoy eternal life. But you know, we love to be loved, but it's in such short supply in this world. You want to be loved, but it's so hard to find. Looking for love in all the wrong places. Isn't that what the song said? Looking for love in all the wrong places. People go from relationship to relationship, habit to habit, thing to thing, hope to hope, hoping this time I can find love. Oh, I hope this relationship will do it or that one will do it. Because I want to be loved and I want to love. And so even though we want it, it's in such short supply. But I can tell you it's abundantly on our minds. According to Amazon.com, there are at least 32,507 books now in print with the word love in the title. It must be that these authors think that if you walk by in the bookstore their book and look at it, and you look at the title, because that's what you do, you're going to sell that book in 2 seconds when they look at the title and they see love. Apparently, how many? 32,507 authors believe that if love is in that title, it's going to pull people because we want love. Over 145,000 books deal with the subject of love. Over 11,000 popular albums and CDs have love in their title. If you were to do a Google search on the internet, you discover that at least 121 million, I didn't say 121,000, I said 121 million websites that use the word love as one of their keywords. Just go Google love. So it's undeniable how important love is to people all over the world. But I'm going to tell you, even though we talk about love and we want love and we look for love and we search for love and long for love, our culture is giving us a wrong message about love. See, if you want to know what real love is, let me tell you something. Look at Jesus Christ. No. I'm telling you, you'll never see love better manifested, better represented and presented than in the person of Jesus Christ. If you want to know what God is like, look at Jesus Christ. If you think God is some mean, angry, furrow-browed, steam coming out his ears, out to get you, catch you in something wrong so he can step on you kind of God, then you need to reread the Bible. Go to the red ink in the Bible. Read the New Testament, read the Gospels, and look at Jesus. If you want to know how God is, look at Jesus. Jesus said, if you want to see the Father, look at me. If you've seen me, you've seen the Father. Because I am the perfect representation and manifestation and presentation of the Father's heart. There is no other better explanation and description of God than me. And only God the Son can say that. But he said it. If you want to know how God loves you, look at Jesus. If you want to know how he loves children, look at Jesus. If you want to know how he loves the down and out, look at Jesus. If you want to know how God feels about people that are struggling and going down for the last time, the last count, look at Jesus. Accused of hanging around with sinners and wine bibbers, he was always with the down and out, the out of luck, the down on their luck. Those that had no more hope, no more answers, no more anything. Hanging by a string, Jesus went to them. He loved them. He paid attention to them. One was important enough to him to leave the crowds and go and find the one. Jesus loves, and he represents the love of God. He loves us so much that he told us the truth about ourselves. Because you see, love tells the truth. Now, we're being told in our culture that if you love somebody, you won't be truthful with them, that you'll overlook things that are hurting them, that you will never judge them. Our culture has a favorite Bible verse. You know what it is? Do not judge. They can't tell you who said it. They can't tell you where it is. But they quote it all the time. Judge not. Bible says judge not. Oh, does it really? Can you take me to the chapter and verse? No, I just heard that that's what it says. Judge not. Jesus said it. And Jesus was never telling us not to judge things in our own lives and in people's lives. Jesus was telling us, don't judge hypocritically. If it's in you, don't judge it in somebody else. Make sure that the log is out of your own eye so you can remove the speck from your brother's eye. That's what he meant by judge not. But he never told us to be so stupid that we would not judge. Because if you don't judge, you're probably going to get in big time trouble. How are you ever going to know the wrong kind of person to run with if you don't judge? How are you ever going to know which direction to take in life if you don't judge? Even the sparrows in my backyard have more sense than a lot of Christians, because when I feed them, they're in the feeder and they're always looking around. They're always looking around. They'll eat, get a little bit of seed in their mouth, and then they'll start looking around again. What are they looking for? The hawk. And when they see a hawk, they don't look at each other and say, you know, we really shouldn't judge him, because the Creator said, don't judge. So if they sat there and all decided they're not going to judge all of them, at least one of them is about to be a hawk's lunch. Oh no, they judge real quick. When they see the wing pattern and they hear the cry and they see that thing coming, they know what the enemy looks like and they are out of there so fast. But what do we do? Well, the Bible says I shouldn't judge. I'm not going to judge. I can't be mean and judge. Love means you don't ever judge. That's crazy. Love is not deaf, dumb, and silent, and neither was Jesus, because he loves us. God loves us enough to tell us the truth about ourselves. How many of you are glad God told you the truth about your condition? Amen? You know the first word out of Jesus' mouth when he started preaching, the very first word he said was repent. Now let me ask you, when Jesus said these words, repent of your sins and turn to God, for the kingdom of heaven is near, did he love the people he said that to? Did he? Of course he did. See, indescribable love, God's indescribable gift, flowed out of indescribable love. And that indescribable love cares for us, takes care of us, protects us, watches over us, and tells us the truth about ourselves. Listen, I thank God he told me the truth about what he thought about my lifestyle before I got saved. Because if he hadn't told me the truth about how he saw my lifestyle, which was sinful, I would have never gotten saved. I needed somebody to tell me the truth. And he told me the truth and it let me know I needed a savior. Come on, everybody. So his love not only protects and sacrifices and watches over us, but it also corrects us, and that's one of the manifestations of love. God's indescribable gift flowed out of indescribable love. Secondly, the indescribable gift of Jesus Christ required an indescribable sacrifice. Everybody say sacrifice. We will never understand in our finite minds, because we're so limited. Some people think they know everything. Oh, what a shock it's going to be when we get to heaven and realize we didn't know much at all. But listen, we can't comprehend in our finite minds what it took, the sacrifice, for God to send his only son. I have two children. I can't think of a human on earth I would give one of them to die for. I love you, but I'm being honest. I can't imagine saying to my son or my daughter, go die for this person. No, but God so loved the world. He gave his own, he didn't send an angel. He didn't send a cherubim or a seraphim or the highest order of archangels. He didn't send any of that. No, he went to family. He sent his only son. He sent him to earth. He said goodbye. He watched him become a human being. He watched him be abused, mistreated, slandered, beat, and crucified for you and for me. The Bible calls it the great condescension. When we hear the word condescension, we tend to think of somebody talking down to us. We've all experienced it, and it's terrible. I hate feeling like I'm being, and you do too, being talked down to by somebody who thinks they're better than you. And you walk away going, they were very condescending. But that's not what it's talking about when theologians describe the sacrifice of Jesus Christ coming to the world as the great condescension. They mean that Jesus didn't come with a superior attitude. No, Jesus said, I didn't come to be served, but to serve. He didn't come with a superior attitude. He came from a superior place. He came from a superior position. He condescended down.
We appreciate you listening today to Life Talk with Pastor Jeff Wickwire. Every program we do has one main thing in mind, and that's to share the hope and good news of Jesus Christ to people who need to hear the message and to be inspired to put the teaching into practice. That's what this ministry is all about. So if you've been encouraged by the message, we would love to hear about it. Pick up your phone and give us a call at 877-884-3111. That's 877-884-3111. Or go online at our website to lifetalkradio.us. And be sure to save the web address in your favorites folder so you can come back often. Also, would you consider getting on board with us as a faithful ministry partner? It would really mean a lot to us. Your valuable contribution makes a huge difference to us in helping to get the message of the gospel out through this program to people everywhere. Your generosity, along with this ministry, is reaching people in a way that you may never have the ability to do on your own. So jump on board as a LifeTalk partner by calling us at 877-884-3111 or online at lifetalkradio.us. 877-884-3111 or lifetalkradio.us. From the bottom of our hearts, thank you so very much. Have a great rest of the day, and thanks for listening to LifeTalk.